This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
To Be Wrestling Network. Welcome to the NWA Saturday Special. I am your co-host, George Robolino, the doctor, along with my co-host. I don't know, some people call him the Podfather. Some people call him the King of Place to Be Wrestling Network. He's got a million names. But I know him as Scott Criscolo. So welcome, Scott, to the show tonight. How are you?
Welcoming me. You sound like Art Bell. He's got a million nicknames. He flies in on Area 51. He sits with men with green skin. I like it. You're very narrative. You're very sing-songy. I like that. We need that once in a while. Good evening, Doctor. Good evening, PTB Wrestling Network faithful. As the Doctor mentioned, welcome to the special. We got a good show tonight.
That's right. And you know, I'm excited. You know why I'm excited tonight? Because I have my NWA Saturday Special shirt.
You came do today. You fucking bitch! I didn't get anything That's in the mail right. today. A lot of customers got their stuff from TeePublic. I've seen people wearing Saturday Special, Croc and Roll. Saw a pretty good amount of Highway to the Impact Zone T-shirts today too. Great show hosted by my good friend Logan Crosland. If, as a matter of fact, his most recent episode 7, dropped. Well, if you're listening to this Saturday morning, dropped the other day, Thursday. For those who don't know, Logan.
They have a cool logo too. You know, I really like their logo.
Yes, the highway, and I like the
all the background. Logos are fucking awesome. Look, I mean, this thing is, you could see NWA Saturday Special from far away. It's nice.
You could see it from like the highway. If you're in your wife's van broke down, all you have to do is wave that, and you could be seen in like fucking Manhattan.
Exactly.
So it's a good
and
size.
I got it with you know, because our logo is with the powder blue and you know, with the yellow and the black lettering. So I got the t-shirt in that powder blue color, and I love it. I really, yeah, really love it. Awesome. And I got my Croc and Roll shirt, and it's gray. I did like a charcoal gray, or they call it heather gray, with the logo. It just, everything just looks awesome. I think everybody needs to get themselves something from the Place to Be Wrestling Network.
A lot
really
of
do. I can't wait for the masks to come.
A lot of coffee mugs were purchased. I saw among the logos today, I saw a Croc and Roll coffee mug. I saw an NWA Saturday Special mug. I saw a PTB NXT coffee mug. I think I saw Highway to the Impact Zone coffee mug somewhere. What else? Did I see a Place to Be Net Wrestling, the Network logo? I think I saw the Network logo today as well. So thank you for those. And please continue to... Continue to support us. We got t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, onesies for your little ones. Imagine walking on a little NWA Saturday Special onesie.
Love it. I love
spit
it
up on.
So but I tweeted it out when I got my stuff today, and I was so excited because Sean Kidd told us that he got his mugs, you know, chatted us up and said, hey, I have, you know, took pictures of it. And I was like, how did you get yours already? And then I went and I tracked my package and said, well, it's, you know, in transit. And then all of a sudden I got an email. I tell you, TeePublic is awesome. They keep in contact with you, let you know the status of your orders. They send you the UPS tracking constantly.
Yep.
And
yeah, I got like eight of them.
Literally, as I got the email, I heard the mailman or the UPS man dropping it off at my door. So he must have like literally put it in that he delivered it. And I got the email saying it was here, went out to the porch, got the shirts, and I was very excited.
Oh, it was a good day for you. Not for me, but well, at least in terms of not getting anything in the mail, but I'm sure I'm the boss and I get my stuff last. How fucking bullshit is that?
And I'm excited because my daughter bought me a nice, beautiful Yeti mic for podcasts.
You have like no kayfabe. You really did love the Attitude Era. You're talking about like your fucking equipment, and why don't you tell everybody like what color underwear I'm wearing? Not that you would know. What color underwear are you wearing? I'm surprised you didn't say it either.
I don't know.
You're wearing tighty
whities. What are we doing? What are we talking about tighty
whities? What are we doing? Tim Capel always asks me that. What are we doing? I don't know what we're doing. We have a fun show tonight, but your daughter did buy you a nice Yeti. And I have a Yeti. My Yeti is 7 years old. My PIC got it for me for my 40th birthday, if we want to keep talking. I was born in 1973. I went to Catholic high school. I'm sorry. I thought we were just talking about
all our lives. Good. You know what? You need to chill. This is a podcast. We can have a good time over here.
We have a good time.
This is like family. This is like family here.
We had pizza. You're at your kitchen table. What else? Let's see. Everybody's sleeping.
We're like family here. You know what I'm saying?
The dog so raised.
Everybody's gonna be like, "Wow, why does Dr. G sound clearer this week?" Well, because I got a new mic. That's why.
I don't think people really care. I think they just want you to be here in spirit for them. In the netherworld, in the other world, in Georgie land, riding like the teacups. Right. You're riding the Georgie
one of those.
I've been kicking around the idea, and maybe when these start to sell well, maybe we'll start doing like, I don't say inside joke shirts, but like person, like different tees with like different sayings and things from the various shows. We might do that. I might do an AEW with a line through it.
I can definitely see you doing that. Always picking on AEW. But hey, listen, Thunder Rosa made her AEW debut.
I am picking on AEW because I'm only supposed to like one company and it has to be that one. I understand what you're trying to do. You're joining the rest of the snowflake flock.
You're just bitter. Just chill.
Do you even know my watching habits? I watch.
Yes, you don't watch WWE. That I could tell you. I don't either. I'm not knocking you for it.
Well, let me ask you, how can you say that I'm anti-AEW if you think I don't even watch WWE? What am I anti-AEW about? I'm not anti-AEW about anything. But as you can listen to my good friends Mike and Ralph Valenti on the Squared Circle Cycle Babble podcast on YouTube, this was a fan-started war. The companies didn't start it. The fans started it.
Why are you getting involved? Why are you getting involved with the trolls? What's the difference? They're sitting in their basement somewhere. Who cares? Who really cares what they have to say? It's what you feel like and what you enjoy. Do you enjoy what you watch when you watch AEW?
Because I don't like ignorance and disingenuousness. And that's what a lot of
– you don't think it happens on the other side? It happens on both sides. It's just like everything in life. There's two sides.
You watch the Yankees and fucking Three's Company.
I don't even watch that these days. The sports with no fans is not doing it for me. I have to be honest.
A 24-hour channel on Pluto TV, just to let you know. Jenny Smith, podcast on the Jenny position about Pluto TV. I'm gonna do one about Rescue 911. I think you should go on there and talk about Supermarket Sweep. Grocery shopping.
Today I watched like, while I was working, I just had it in my headphones and everything, and I was watching Three's Company. Oh my God, that show just cracks me up. I love all the old sitcoms. I really do.
I don't like anything after like 1996, right? Yeah, no. The fuck that shit. Friends. Who watches that garbage? Friends was Mary Tyler Moore.
No, but let me tell you something right now. And you know because you were watching with me. Cobra Kai is awesome.
If
any of you have not watched that, I know we're kind of going off topic here, but
Don West. Anything else to sell? Look at you.
Listen, if you have not watched Cobra Kai, you have to watch it. It is so well written. And every episode you think something's going to happen and it just happens differently than you think it's going to.
Don West over here. The brown bag of sitcoms. The brown bag special. I brought a brown bag special from Don West. I got a Kevin Nash doll, for Christ's sakes. Complete with wrap around his quad. Anyway. All right. Enough of this nonsense. Anyway, buy stuff on the store. We have awesome stuff. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs. And support your favorite show. And support all of our shows. Here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Why don't we talk some wrestling? Right.
The greatest network on earth. Oh, that's what we need to do. We need to get a shirt. The greatest network on earth.
I have been told that I should get a million download man shirt, which would be funny. That was your boy Callum McDougal. I can't do one that says the Podfather because that fat fuck from Alabama has a is the parent.
Oh, you're his bitch. Please, you know it.
They're inbred.
You know it.
Why aren't you on that show?
Like, you're like the Conrad of the Place to Be Wrestling Network. That's what it is.
Really? Well, I am because I am the Podfather, but I have a better looking beard, and I would have married the better looking Flair daughter. You bitch. All right, let's talk wrestling. Enough of this. So this week on the Saturday special, we are closer and closer, Dr. G, to the Primetime Live brought to you by the National Wrestling Alliance and the United Wrestling Network. It takes place, the first episode, Tuesday night, September 15th. If you're listening to this on Saturday, that's just 10 days away on Fight TV. We finally have a price. We finally have a price. Are you ready? Ready for the price, Dr.
Drum roll.
You can buy each episode individually for $8. Or you can buy all four of them. They're doing them in month bundles. You can buy the first four episodes for $24. So
not bad.
If you buy it individually, they're $8 a piece. But if you buy it in bundle, you're spending $6 a piece, technically. Even though you're paying
it's like buying a stupid Starbucks, whatever that junk that the people buy that crap. You know, they pay $8 for a freaking Frappuccino, whatever the hell it's called. I don't even know what their drinks are called.
My God. And you're saying I'm the bitter one. Fucking Frappa.
I'm just trying to, you know, relate it. Like, so everybody could go out there, spend their $8, or if they do the bundle, $6. Let's support the NWA, baby.
Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'.
That's the truth.
So, yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? I think that's not a bad price. I mean, you're paying. Well, I mean, honestly, say you're not home or whatever, you know, and you have to watch only a couple. $8 isn't bad for a 90-minute show, which is what I believe the episode length is. But $24 for four episodes, $6 an episode, is pretty good. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We're gonna have some great Tuesday nights.
Yes, we are, and cost me a little less because I think I had $7 in credit from buying Into the Fire and Hot Tams. So my bundle will cost me only $16. So
that's why you're the Podfather.
Podfather, because I get everything out of respect. So anyway, So the news is, of course, on the first episode on the 15th, Nick Aldis will be defending Sweet Charlotte, the World's Heavyweight Championship, against Mike Bennett. That's set in stone. And now we find out today from 411 Mania, another member of the NWA set to compete on the first UWN show, Camille. Nick Aldis is not side piece, but his business associate, a member of Strictly Business. The UWN announced yesterday, if you're listening to this on Saturday, Friday, Camille will face Heather Monroe on that first episode. The show will be Vilify TV, pre-orderable $7.99, for blah, 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 blah. So Camille, so two members of Strictly Business, Nick Aldis, and look at this. We have a bunch of things here.
Excited about this.
Here's the press comments. Ready? Here's the whole press. Here's the whole release from, because, you like press releases. Here's the press release from UWN. Camille has been announced as the next – I do love to read and you love to type press releases. Camille has been announced as the next NWA talent to compete on the debut of United Wrestling Network's primetime pay-per-view series on September 15th. Camille debuted in the NWA as the insurance policy for Nick Aldis as he battled the American Nightmare Cody for the 10 pounds of gold. Camille, a former Division I college softball player, yada, yada, yada. In the spirit of Primetime Live featuring the best of the NWA and the United Wrestling Network, Camille will face the killer – Bay, Heather Monroe, Bay, B-A-E, Bay, on September 15th. Heather Monroe, along with her manager, Halston Body. Is that the name you leave at hotels? Is Dr. G here? No, but I have Halston Body, though. Have been a fixture on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Monroe also competed recently in AEW, facing AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida, who, of course, if you're listening to this on Saturday, Shida tonight at AEW's pay-per-view All Out is defending the title against the NWA Women's World Champion, Thunder Rosa. Camille versus Monroe joins the debut primetime live card, including Nick Aldis defending the world's heavyweight title against Mike Bennett, and Alexander Hammerstone defending the West Coast Pro Wrestling Championship against EJ Sparks. Additional talent announced to take part in the series so far include NWA Women's Champ Thunder Rosa, Chris Dickinson, and the UWN Tag Team Champions Static. Pricing has been announced for UWN NWA Primetime Live pay-per-view series. Episodes can be purchased separately or as part of four-episode bundles. Single episodes can be purchased through Fight for $7.99. The four-episode bundles, $23.99. Single episodes can also be available for $11.99 through in-demand pay-per-view.
We don't get any Aaron Stevens the first week?
Not yet. Shooter Stevens!
Are we going to hear that
again? Are we going to hear that again? Well, maybe we will. I mean, again, it's all about surprises. Maybe there's surprises. Look at you. You just don't even give a shit about kayfabe anymore. Just rip the fucking Band-Aid off. Maybe they'll show up secretly. Maybe there'll be a third member of what the fuck country is he from? Not Bulgaria. It's also Bulgaria.
Mongrovia?
Mongrovia. Maybe there'll be more Mongrovians showing up a week from Tuesday. But who knows?
Well, as long as they're socially distant, they're okay.
Have masks
they
on.
Wear their masks.
Wear their question mark masks.
Well, question mark has a mask. So there you go. See, he was already preparing for this.
We got to check NWA shop and see if there's masks with question marks on them. Anyway, I'm kind of pumped now that we're starting to like hear some matches. I'm really excited for this first episode.
I am. You know what? You know, obviously we're hearing some names I'm not familiar with anyway. Maybe some people out there are. So it might be nice to find some younger talent or some talent that we haven't seen before that we might get into and that we might see in the NWA or some other promotions. So, hey, you know what? I'm willing to give it a shot. And, you know, we've really been, you know, chomping at the bit to get some NWA back and that we could actually, on the NWA Saturday special, speak about the current NWA. Not that we haven't been enjoying all the nostalgia, but it's nice to talk about something that's new.
Yes, exactly. I agree 100%. I'm just letting everyone know next week on the program, in anticipation for the debut episode of Primetime Live, you and I are going to delve into the UWN, what they are, their history, who some of their superstars are, who their champions are. So next week here on the Saturday, if we have time for a superstar spotlight, we'll do it. But I want to spend most of next week kind of giving us a primer on the UWN, the United Wrestling Network, and see who some of the names and faces are that you may be watching that following Tuesday, the 15th. So that's what we're going to do, Dr. G. So next week on the Saturday special, we'll spend a hunk of time going over who is the United Wrestling Network and what their talent is and who their champions are. And, well, we already know a few of their champions, Static and EJ Sparks. Not EJ Sparks. Who's the West Coast champion again? The West Coast champion is Alexander Hammerstone will be defending the West Coast Pro Wrestling Championship against EJ. Hey, you know what? Sean Kidd may have more belts to put on his shelf if he likes those.
But he's building himself a nice little collection over there. Sure. He's trying to rival you over there.
Almost catching up to me. I own six, including Sweet Charlotte. But I think he's getting Sweet Charlotte. But he's got some that I really want. He has the NWA US title. He's got, of course, the red leather TV championship. He's getting a bunch of other stuff. He's getting the six-man tag belt, which will look very nice with Steve, Nate, and I, as we are the six-man.
So I think he's just getting one of them. I don't know if he's getting all three.
Oh, we'll cut one of them into three pieces, like Lay Cool.
We're challenging you.
Oh, you're going down. Because Callum's going to he's going to Claymore kick you in the face and join his buddies with the Special Relations. That's what's going on. You like that? I'm just turning Callum heel without even realizing.
You're turning him heel already. How does he feel about that? Oh, you know, I speaking of Callum, and I'm going to mention this to him when I speak to him on Monday, but I love the video game that he made.
Yeah, we have to check out. Please check out, by the way. Yeah, check out the YouTube, the new Place to Be Nation YouTube channel. We're going to be doing a lot of fun, different things there. Callum did when we did the main event mailbag, when we were doing dream matches, Callum actually found a video game, like control, like a driver, you know, like a video game creator, and did a video game match between the Midnight Express and the New Day. And it's a lot of fun. So check it out. He also did
NBA. It was really well done in how he got the Place to Be logos everywhere. It was really neat. He did a nice job. He really did. And I enjoyed watching it. it really was good.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. So check that out. Go to just look up Place to Be Nation on YouTube and check out our awesome YouTube channel. It doesn't have much on it yet, but we're working on it. We're going to do more stuff. He has that match on there, and he also has kind of a what would happen if the NBA had a full season this year. So check that out as well. Okay. There is some other NWA news, and this actually speaks volumes because everyone's been talking about, including my good friend Mike Valenti on the Squared Circle Psychobabble podcast, that all these NWA wrestlers are going to jump ship and they're all going to go to AEW. No, I don't think. I mean, yes, Eddie Kingston went, but he's a traitor. So,
I'm going to miss Eddie, but I'm happy for some of these guys that have been toiling around in the independents for many years, that you know, struggling, and especially the coronavirus hit and hurt them to be able to get a contract. You can't knock somebody for trying to better themselves. This whole thing in wrestling, and I understand the whole thing with loyalty and all that. But you know what? People are humans like we are, and you have to pay the bills. You know, like when they used to say when somebody would leave like ECW and they would call them traitor and all this. It's like, guys, these guys have a chance to make a living and make six figures. Are you going to turn down six figures in your life? I don't think so. So I'm happy for Eddie. I mean, we're going to miss him over in the NWA. But if they're doing a little work in relationship, I mean, AEW is willing to work with some of the smaller companies, so maybe we'll see a little crossover every once in a while. But Thunder Rosa was on Dynamite this past week, so I have to watch it. I haven't caught it, but I know that she's putting out a challenge.
Well, she challenged and it was accepted by AEW Women's Champion Hikaru Shida, so they're going to wrestle tonight. If you're listening to this Saturday that it dropped, tonight at AEW All Out, which is kind of their WrestleMania, they will be taking on, she'll be taking on Thunder Rosa.
I'm happy for Thunder Rosa to see her on a bigger stage. I think she definitely has potential to be one of the better women wrestlers, one of the top women wrestlers in the world today.
I agree.
And help their division, to be honest with you. We've said it. Their women's division is not nearly as good as WWE's, and
no, it's garbage.
Maybe not even as good as Impact. So, they have some ways to go there.
Yes. But I have a little bit of a news story here from Wrestling Headlines. If you think that Thunder Rosa is going to leave the NWA to go at AEW, you're wrong. NWA Women's Champion Thunder Rosa recently spoke with Fightful Select and said she would love an opportunity to help run things on the production side of the company. Rosa admitted that she needs to learn the video editing side of things a lot more and has been taking steps to get more adept at that as of late. There are roles that apparently still need filling, with, of course, Dave Lagana gone. Rosa has done some promoting of her own and worked on learning the production end of pro wrestling while with the WOW promotion, Women of Wrestling. Rose is, of course, the NWA. She fought Serena Deeb the other night on Dynamite, which apparently was a wonderful match. And, of course, as I mentioned, tonight at All Out, she's taking on Hikaru Shida for the women's title, which I think is going to end in a schmoz or maybe a time limit draw. So Thunder Rosa is definitely loyal and in with Billy Corgan, and I think she really wants to build the NWA. And I'm not saying this. I know I may sound very defensive about the NWA, and I am, just like you are, Dr. G. I mean, I've been saying no different than you, because I really think Billy didn't really get a chance. Like, this pandemic fucked him, and then the whole thing with Dave, and we're not going to get into that, but, I mean, he's gone through a lot of crap the last, like, 9 months.
Exactly. And, I mean, he had a vision, and the company was definitely moving in the right direction. As we know, I think they were going to have some live events, and they were going, obviously with the big pay-per-view, and, things just kind of fell apart with the pandemic and, like you said, other stuff with Dave Lagana. So now I think, are you trying to say, like, I think the cornerstones of the NWA, and I apologize if I stepped in here on your toes here, but is Nick Aldis and Thunder Rosa. I think those are the two key components of the NWA.
I agree. I mean, they're obviously the two biggest champions. Aaron Stevens is your national champion. Of course, our guys, James Storm and Eli Drake are our tag team champions. And we don't have a TV champion because for some reason, Zicky Dice thought there was a greener pasture somewhere else. And who knows where the hell he is, probably in a ditch somewhere. So the world television title is vacant. So that, and like I said, Dr. G, I think maybe one of the things we may see this a week from Tuesday on the first episode of Primetime Live is maybe we will see an opening of a new tournament to crown a new, because the two champions, Zicky Dice and, of course, the previous champion, Ricky Starks, are both gone.
Is Zicky Dice definitely gone? I know there was a lot of reports.
Yeah, he asked for his release. He asked for his release back in June, and he got it. So he forfeited the TV title and vanished. I don't know where he went. That's why I'm so irritated with him. Where the hell was he going to go? If you look at him, he certainly won't go anywhere. He certainly isn't going to fit anywhere else. So who the hell knows? But, of course, Ricky Starks, the inaugural – well, I shouldn't say inaugural, but the first new TV champion that won the tournament at Hard Times is, of course, in AEW right now. So good opportunity here, not only for NWA guys, Dr. G, but for these young, unknown, up-and-coming UWN superstars that we'll be seeing. So my prediction is, and we'll talk more about this next week, that first episode on the 15th, I think we are going to see some sort of tournament announced to crown a new NWA World Television Champion. I think Billy wants to shore that up as quickly as possible.
I think so. I think, you know, it's a chance now to start moving the company and I mean, he has to take a new direction. He may be able to still have the same goals that he originally had for the company, but it's going to take time because, again, we don't know what the outcome or how the – I don't want to say the outcome, but we don't know which way we're going to move with the virus in terms of, are things going to get better or are they going to get worse? So we don't know that yet. But if they get better, then eventually we'll have fans in the stands, similar to like what AEW is trying to do. And we could start seeing, you know, the vision that Billy has for the company. Now, again, you know, he had somebody else, Dave Lagana, had maybe some visions. They had some ideas together, but now maybe he gets some more people involved. Thunder Rosa, one of them, sounds like she wants to be involved behind the scenes.
Right.
You know, as well as on screen. You know, you could find a vision. You know, you could still take Billy's vision and maybe have to go a different route to get there.
Right.
But you may eventually get to where he wants to be.
Sure. I agree with that. And it's like I said, I think we've always talked about this, even when they were going on back in the early part of the year before all this bullshit happened. The NWA, and I feel when we had Dave on, and Billy has said it too on podcasts, the NWA right now is almost like a family, like the Place to Be Wrestling Network. They work together. They're a group. You know, they're not making a ton of money. So I'm fine with Eddie Kingston leaving to make a payout. Thunder Rosa is going to get a nice check for her two appearances. Nick Aldis is not showing up this weekend, regardless of what AEW knuckleheads want to say. Well, seriously, think about this. Think about this. Some people have said, wouldn't it be great if Nick Aldis, the world's heavyweight champion, showed up on Impact, on AEW Dynamite and challenged Cody for the TNT championship? Really? The hell would he want that belt for? He's got Sweet Charlotte, the world's heavyweight championship. Why would he want some belt named after a network? That's like going to Herb Abrams' promotion and saying, I don't want to be world's heavyweight champion. I want to be the MGM Grand Garden champion. While Herb Abrams is snorting coke off the fucking belt. Please. Idiots.
Well, you can't compare the UWF and the AEW. Come on now. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, no, seriously. So you think it's better for the world's heavyweight champion to wrestle a mid-card guy and lose? Because you know Cody's not going to lay down for Nick Aldis. Not happening. There's only so far Cody will go when it comes to putting people over.
Well, Cody's not the TNT champion.
Well, he was. Nobody. Oh, Brody Lee. That's right. The guy who was pissed off that he couldn't get above mid-card status in WWE, goes to AEW and wins the mid-card belt. Hope you like that lateral move, Colonel Sanders.
Oh, my gosh. You are just so bitter. Holy cow.
You know what? You know what? If it wasn't for me, these AEW fans would just sit here and walk around in their unicorn world. And who the fuck are you to be Henry Kissinger? I mean, seriously. No, it's stay just, in your corner.
But you're getting so crazy.
You know what? Stay in your corner. Wear the shirts, okay? Put the coffee mugs on your head and just be the billboard you're meant to be, okay?
Listen, you want you're a WWE fan, right?
Be like that. Be like that Statue of Liberty.
Get better. They need
competition. I'm an NWA fan. Oh, Jesus Christ!
Once Vince and those guys start feeling threatened, they will step it up a notch. I mean, look at what they did back in the late 90s.
Oh my God, the late 90s. Yeah, the late 90s. I've heard AEW fans say they want Brock Lesnar in AEW.
Wow.
Listen, wow.
Lesnar's going to use that to his advantage.
Yeah, but I don't even think they want Brock Lesnar. I think Triple H has finally put his foot down to Vince and said, look, we need to put over the talent we have in this company and stop using fucking part-timers.
Yeah, I guess he does bring in money. I mean, now with the coronavirus, I don't know. But, I think at this point, I think you got what you got at it.
Yeah, he had 8 years worth. He was here longer. He wrestled more matches in 8 years. He might have wrestled more matches in the 2 years he was here the first time than he's done in the 8 years he's been here since.
It's true. But the wrestling landscape is definitely interesting. And, both companies, the two major companies, are doing different things to try to keep us engaged. And again, you can't compare, and I hate when people start comparing. You can't compare this era to the Attitude Era just because, first of all, TV watching is different. There's so many more options out there right now. You're never going to see 6 million people watching at one time on a Monday night or Wednesday night. You're just not going to see it. It's just not going to happen. So you just have to enjoy what you know what? There's a little bit of everything out there for everyone. You still got Impact, you got Ring of Honor, you got NWA. Enjoy what you want. I mean, let the people, the fans, fight amongst themselves, and you enjoy what you enjoy. I don't get bothered with that stuff. Start getting in fights with people about AEW, WWE. Come on. I think the fans are trying to create the Monday Night Wars again.
I just said that like 10 minutes ago and you yelled at me. The Wednesday Night War was started by the fans.
But you're
not by Vince, not by Tony Khan.
You into this, though. That's what I'm trying to say. Why are you
the sucker? I'm the sucker. What I'm saying is that everyone should have the right to watch what they want. And these snowflakes, they tell me, oh, you watch that lame WWE. And I said, oh, I'm glad I'm arguing with an 11-year-old. That's the best you could do. Lame. I'm telling everybody to watch everything.
You know what? I'm a wrestling fan and I watch a little bit of everything. So if you don't like it, too bad. If those people just want to watch one company, which
you know they're not. You get name called and cyberbullying. And it affects our mental health. No, I shouldn't make fun of that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like if you know those people that are saying that, they're watching the other companies, please. Come on. A wrestling fan's a wrestling fan. Wrestling fans love just about anything.
There's a rumor. Yeah. There's a rumor going around. Oh, excuse me. I almost sneezed there. There's a rumor going around that sometime in the next year, USA is going to move NXT to Tuesdays. So no one's going to give a shit anymore. The AEW fans will... And everybody will get what they want. The AEW fans can go, yay, we won the Wednesday Night War. And the WWE fans can go, that's nice, you can have Wednesday. We have the rest of the week. Because Monday's Raw, Tuesday's NXT. Thursday is usually NXT UK, which looks like it's being revitalized again. And Friday is SmackDown on Fox.
You can have Wednesday. Add a second show. You know that's going to happen. So, but whatever.
You know what AEW should do? And this would be pretty cool. They should do that AEW Dark. Do it on Saturday mornings. What the fuck is TNT airing on Saturday mornings? Do AEW Dark from 10 to noon. or 11 to 1
Saturday morning wrestling, that reminds me of being a kid again.
Exactly. Look at me. I'm saying something nice about AEW. AEW should put dark on Saturday mornings.
And there's some things I don't like about AEW, too. You know, I'm not sitting here being an AEW. I don't watch it as much as I don't watch WWE, because I just, you know, now maybe they have some fans I could start getting back into it again. I'm just saying is that it's nice. I like that there's competition, because for a while there, WWE got – I don't want to say they got lazy, because nobody works harder than the McMahon family. I mean, no one on this earth. I wish I could have the work ethic they have
right now. You do work very hard, but listen,
and it's just that, but you know, the problem is when you have so many hours of television per week, and this is the problem. And you know, we spoke about this even when we were talking about NWA with Dave and all this stuff. When you have so many hours to fill a week and you're trying to make TV companies happy, there's only so many storylines and so many surprises and so many things that you haven't done before. And, you know, now the world's changed again. You know, you got to be a little more PC. So you have to be careful on what you how you want to surprise people and the things that you're going to do, where where pushing the envelope was the big thing in the late 90s. It's not the case so much these days. So you have to, there's a lot of, lot goes into it. I mean, if we had the answers, if you and I had the answers of what to do to make wrestling better today, we'd be millionaires, right? I mean, nobody has the magic potion right now. So I think when AEW came along, they saw some, you know, those guys were trying to do something a little different. So people were like, wow, okay, this is a little refreshing. But you'll see in another 2-3 years, maybe AEW is going to get into that rut, just because it's not because they're not good at what they're doing or, you know, they're not trying hard. It's because there's only, you know, there's a lot when you – especially they're going to add hours of TV, and you know that's going to happen – You're always having to build new stars, or you're always trying to come up with a different storyline, when really you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Because if you go back and you're watching a lot of the old, wrestling, you see things copied, especially in the territories. Every territory had, you know, the fire, you know, the fire in the eyes. You know, they just was watching something today, going back for the Croc and Roll show, you know. How many times have you seen that? Jerry Lawler was doing it. Kevin Sullivan was doing it down in Florida. So, I don't know.
You have a mute button. Such a...
I know I do.
I know you're showing off your Yeti, but you don't. You need to use it. Utilize it to the fullest. So listen, I just realized you're not allowed to talk about anything but NWA unless you buy a Place to Be Nation's main event T-shirt and wear it. Then you could talk about other promotions. But since you only bought the Saturday Night shirt, you can only talk about the NWA. So all that stuff is going to get cut.
Whatever. We're having a good old time here on the NWA Saturday, especially
we are, you
know, next week. And when the new shows start, we're going to have a lot to talk about the NWA. So right now we're just kind of filling in the time, having a good time doing this. We got to get to our main event for the tonight. Not main event, the show. We know.
Are you like Dr. Johnny Fever? Are you drinking whiskey out of your Croc and Roll mug? Oh wait, no, Sean Kidd's drinking that whiskey.
Sean kind of like, now I got to go. I got to get the mugs now. I didn't get them, I have to say, because I like have a million mugs in my house, and I'm like, God, do I really need another mug? But I don't know. Kind of.
Well, anyway, we will talk more about next week on the show. We'll talk more about the United Wrestling Network. Because we want to get in a little bit of backstory, and then we'll get you ready for the debut episode of Primetime Live 1 week from this Tuesday, September 15th, 8 o'clock on Fight TV. If you buy it individually, it's $8. If you buy the bundle, it's $24. So if you buy in a bundle, you're only spending $6. And hey, if you were an NWA fan like us and you bought Into the Fire and Hard Times, you probably have some credit. So you won't have to pay full price.
Exactly. And you know what? What's great about it? Let's have the Place to Be Wrestling Network representing that evening, or these during these shows.
What do you mean, like show up?
No.
Well, Drew Wardlaw, I think, is the closest. The merch? Oh yeah, of course. I think Drew Wardlaw is the closest. Mark Claire may live close.
No, I'm saying representing, like buying the.
We'd love to buy the merch.
The package, so this way we could all,
yes.
Go back and forth on it on Twitter and have people tell us what they like or don't like, or I'm so psyched. I'm so psyched about it.
Are you excited? Are you fucking excited?
I am. Good. Very, very excited.
No, it's gonna be great. So we'll talk more about next week. We'll get into the history of the United Wrestling Network, their champions, some of their other superstars, and get you ready for what we're going to be watching the following week. Okay. However, tonight we do have a name in the hopper for tonight's superstar spotlight. This is our third one. We first did Double A, the Enforcer, Arn Anderson. Last week we did Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, and tonight we are doing another guy. Who you could go, a lot of people go, but he shares a birthday with my brother, actually. You can go back and forth on your thoughts on him and his career and highs and lows. Of course, his career, not his life, he's still alive, he's 61, but his career, of course, ended way too soon. We're, of course, talking about tonight's superstar spotlight, Magnum T.A. And I've actually learned a lot about Magnum T.A., just like I said last week, Dr. G, that I learned a lot about Ronnie Garvin by watching stuff on the network. I watched almost all of the Mid-South that's on the network. And I liked Magnum T.A. anyway in Crockett. And we'll talk about some great Magnum T.A. matches. Of course, there's one big one that we'll talk about. But yes, he had a pretty...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was about to say, but he had some pretty good matches in Mid-South. But I know, go ahead, I know the match you're going to talk about.
No, I mean, we know the match that everyone loves. And you know, we talk about this a little bit on the Crock and Roll. It's like, Magnum T.A., I guess I just, I never got it. I'm watching back a lot of this stuff and, you know, I'm not trying to put down Magnum T.A., but I didn't see him as being the next big champion. I really didn't. I think he was, you know, okay on the stick. If you notice a lot of his matches, I don't know what the reason why they did that. You notice all his matches were very, very quick. You know, his squash matches on television. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were, and this was not just Crockett. Same thing with Mid-South too.
I didn't watch a lot of his Mid-South stuff because I thought maybe they were trying to do that because they were trying to build him up to be the main challenger for Flair. So I thought, okay, we're going to show this guy's very he's dominating. Now again, love that match with Tully. So I mean that definitely could be, you know, in the GWCW could be, you know, number one on a lot of people's ballots.
Oh, absolutely.
But I was saying this on the Crock and Roll. I don't know if he would have been a long-term champion. Now, a lot of times in the NWA in those days, they didn't really make the – it usually was mostly a heel champion, whereas in WWF, it was a face champion.
Right.
I don't know. I just didn't totally get it. I mean, it's a shame because, I mean, what happened with his car accident. But I think I don't know. Sean, I think, kind of agreed with me. I just didn't totally see it. Especially at that time when you had a big, you know, larger-than-life personality like a Hulk Hogan, you know, in the WWF. I didn't see him at that level. Now you may disagree with me, or you see something different that I'm not seeing. But I know you watched a little bit more of his earlier career. I do remember that he was in Championship Wrestling from Florida, and he was in Pacific Northwest Wrestling. Then he went to Mid South, and then over to Jim Crockett. What's your feelings on Magnum T.A.? You know, well, that's one guy you and I don't always discuss very much about together.
Yeah, no, you're right. We don't. I have to say that I'm glad that I was able to watch a good amount of Mid-South during my Chrono watches since the network started. Because he was great in Mid-South. He had a great feud. He started off in the mid-card. Then he became like Mr. Wrestling 2's understudy throughout 83 into 84. And then when JYD left, they passed the belt to Mr. Wrestling 2. And then he kind of turned on Magnum. And then Magnum finally beat him. Mr. Wrestling 2 then left. I think he went to New York. Make some like everybody, you know, that's like the twilight of your career promotion. Like everybody goes to Vince for like their last like 2 years of paychecks to make some cash before they retire. Everybody goes to New York, as they say. And Magnum was dominant as North American champion. Big matches all over, you know, the West, East Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi area. And then he finally lost the title to Ernie Ladd in, I think, October of 84. And then pretty much by November, he's in the Carolinas. I don't know why they did the squashes. I think, maybe they saw him training. I mean,
he wasn't bad in the ring when you saw him.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. Because can we even decide whether he was or he wasn't? It's hard to say. Now,
it is.
Let me say this first, and then I want your thoughts. But let me get this point out. Magnum TA reminds me a lot of the Ultimate Warrior, a guy who had a lot of charisma. He had the look. Both guys had questionable promo skills. See, I did. I saw the unspoken. He had the blonde hair. He had this porn stash. He was in good shape.
He had the look.
The promo skills were questionable. Then again, so was the Ultimate Warriors. Both guys won a lot of squashes. But when they did wrestle extended matches, they really weren't that bad. But they were few and far between. Now, of course, the match that and Dr. G mentioned it, and I actually watched it with we were speaking of Callum, when I was on the Special Relations podcast last month, we watched this match. Of course, we're talking about Tully and Magnum from Starrcade 85, which is, I've already said, is in my top three on my GWCW list. It's just a question whether it's one, two, or three. It won't be any lower than three, that's for sure. And then you've got the best of seven that he had with Nikita in 86 over the U.S. title. And then he was pretty much locked in to beating Ric Flair at Starrcade 86 to become the world's heavyweight champion. But a month and a half earlier, he got into the car accident in his Ferrari, fucked his back up, and he was never the same.
Yeah. And then he pretty much retired. That's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if he would have been a long-term champion. Maybe he would have grown into it. I don't know. But, you know, we watch some of these, you know, watching some of these shows back, and, you know, Flair really schools him on the stick. I mean, he really does. I mean, Flair's hard to match up against anybody. Yeah. You know, there wasn't many. I mean, you know, Dusty could, you know, at that time. But I don't know. I'm trying to go in with an open mind because I didn't really totally get it back when I was younger. So I said, oh, you know, maybe now that I'm rewatching stuff, I could, you know, maybe get into it and figure it out. So still watching a little bit here. We're in 1985 that I'm watching. So we'll see what happens. But I didn't get it as the guy that would hold the belt and be the one that's going to be bringing the NWA to that next level. It would have been interesting. I have to be honest with you. I wish for his sake that he never got into that accident and we could have seen, because maybe the NWA would have been a different thing. Jim Crockett, I don't know. He was spending money like crazy anyway, so I don't know if that would have mattered, but it would have been interesting to see. That's my point. But I guess I didn't see, and like you said, there wasn't many long matches for Magnum TA. So, right. You know, you didn't really – it was very hard to judge his wrestling skills. I mean, obviously they weren't horrible. But, I mean, listen, Hulk Hogan wasn't didn't have five-star matches either. But he had that charisma. He had that little extra. There was something about him that just, you know, took him to another level. I mean, I don't want to compare Magnum TA and Hulk Hogan. I mean, there's only a few people that have reached that pinnacle of where Hogan was. And so you don't want to put that pressure on him. But it would have been interesting to see what he would have done had he won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship if he didn't get injured.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he would lose that best of seven in Nikita because they were transferring him into a title feud with Flair, which was supposed to culminate with him winning the world title at Starrcade 86. Of course, Nikita. And they did
have some good matches, Nikita.
Yes, they did. No, they absolutely did. And then of course, and by the way, it was a Porsche, not a. Ferrari. It was October 14th, 1986. Right. He wrapped his car on. Initially, investigators believed he was speeding, but forensic reports showed he was driving the speed limit. But the problem was he was in his car for 2 hours before paramedics arrived. Jesus. Crushed his C4 and C5 vertebrae exploded. And that was pretty much the end of that.
Yeah, I mean, he still, he gets around, but he still has some issues even to this day. I think he works for like a telecommunications company or something.
According to this, he
was a network solutions company or something like that. I think
he works as a manager at a network solutions company and resides in Charlotte. Of course, he is Tessa Blanchard's stepfather, which is funny. He married Tully Blanchard's ex-wife, which I find hilarious.
and they've done a lot of, shows and stuff together. So I guess they're okay with each other because obviously he's the step, Magnum's the stepfather to Tully's, I think, three kids?
Yeah.
Three or four kids or whatever it is that he had. So, it's definitely interesting. But Tully had some issues, back after he left wrestling and, a lot of that stuff's been talked about in the past. But Magnum is one of those guys that you just, unfortunately, you say, what could have been, you're always going to wonder, would he have been a great NWA World Heavyweight Champion? What would the NWA / WCW, would he be the person, would there have ever been a Sting? Or, it just is a lot of things that, a lot of unanswered questions that we'll never know. But I definitely think I need to watch a little bit more of him maybe to gain a little bit more respect, because I don't want to say I don't respect him. I just didn't get it. I think of him more of as a mid-car guy than a main event guy.
Well, here's a few matches that you might want to look into. Of course, Magnum and Tully from Starrcade 85. Let's see. There's a match between Magnum and Ole from World Championship Wrestling from December 28th, 85, which also apparently has, I think if I remember, said it last week, Dr. G, has a pretty good Flair-Garvin match. Let's see. Flair fought Magnum on an episode of WPW 223-86. Maybe something to look for. Let's see. Nikita and Magnum from the Great American Bash 726-86.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching some of those matches I go through my watches.
So the reason there's not a big swath of GWCW is because, frankly, in the grand scheme of things, Magnum was only there a year and a half. So
you realize, wow, that's, he wasn't really there that long.
He was 2 years. He was in Crockett from November 84 to October 86.
It felt like it was, but also when we were watching as a kid, you remember they did bring him back when he did come back and then he did some announcing.
Yep.
So you kind of lump everything in, but you're right. He really didn't wrestle that long.
No, he didn't.
For Jim Crockett Promotions.
No, he didn't.
So, maybe that's why I didn't totally get it.
I think it's an acceptable opinion, but there's a few matches there that I mentioned that you may want to put in your GWCW. I mean, at least you have to watch, if you haven't before, please watch Tully and Magnum from Starrcade 85. I mean, it's 14 minutes, and it's just a jewel of good Southern violence.
Yes.
I'll put it that way. All right. That'll just about wrap up this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. You can follow me on Twitter at PTBPodfather. You can follow him on Twitter at DrGPTB. Join us next week on the Saturday Special, where, as I mentioned earlier, we will delve into the United Wrestling Network, the UWN. Let's talk a little bit about them, because we're going to get to know them quite well starting on Tuesday night, September 15th. So why don't we get to know them, talk about some of their superstars, their champions, the history of the promotion. Obviously, Dave Marquez is pretty deep into it. and get you ready for that first episode of Primetime Live. We've got at least one title match. Nick Aldis will defend Sweet Charlotte against Mike Bennett. Camille will be wrestling on that night against Heather Monroe. We'll have a couple of other matches. UWN guys will be wrestling, so we'll talk a lot about that. And we do have a
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. We do have some names in the hopper for the Superstar Spotlight. Not sure who we'll pick yet, but we'll make it a surprise if we have
time.
Are you
going to be the UWN commissioner? Is he going to make you the UWN commissioner?
I would love to be the UWN. Who, Dave Marquez? I love Dave.
Yeah.
With his crazy eyebrow. I would love to be the UWN commissioner. He's got the crazy interview eyebrow. You can see it on the NWA eyebrows again. Yeah, the eyebrows again. Well, no, I don't think of his eyebrows. Like, I think of other people's eyebrows. Yeah, I don't think Dave Marquez has sexy eyebrows. No, thanks. Anyway, check out all the great shows here on the PTB Wrestling Network. As I mentioned a couple days ago, the newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone dropped. Next week, we will have a brand new episode of the Place B podcast. My PIC, Mr. Zero, and I will have the 3/15/91 Madison Square Garden house show. And then next week, a new episode of Main Event. Nate, Steve, and I will recap this weekend's AEW All Out and talk about some other news and notes. Maybe talk to those guys about some NWA. And then, of course, you and I will be back next week for the newest episode of the Saturday special. So check everything out here and check out the PTB, the place to be.
We're the only weekly show on the network, aren't we?
We are. Yes, we are. And that's sexy.
That, baby. We are. We're the new. So if you are the gold standard, I guess, for the place to be podcast, what could we be called?
The weekly standard's a magazine, so I don't think we could be called that.
The diamond standard.
The diamond stud. Is that you? You're gonna start wearing a fucking overalls with no shirt. Your chest isn't hairy enough. anyway, so all the great shows here. Of course, the place to be pop feed, the Place to Be Nation pop feed. I'll be I'm recording with a good friend of mine that you guys know very well over on that feed this week. We're starting a new Pop Goes the Classics series. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Dr. G, speaking of Pop Goes the Classics, you know what 2021 hopefully is around the corner, because we'd like to get this piece of shit year out of the way.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
You know, 2021, there'll be a lot of anniversaries, of great movies. Do you realize, Dr. G, that 2021 will be the 45th anniversary of Rocky?
Wow, that's right.
Oh,
that's
maybe
awesome.
We'll do a Pop Goes the Classics series on the Rocky movies. Maybe you, me, and Mr. Azzaro, all big Rocky fans.
We'll have a great time with that.
A good time with that. So that's something to think about for 2021.
No doubt. Yep. And, you know, speaking of movies, I don't know if you saw, I saw something real quick tonight before we got on the podcast.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about The Godfather Part 3?
Godfather, yep.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I was reading that yesterday, what Dr. G's talking about. I guess Coppola wants to kind of, like, freshen up The Godfather Part 3, and they want to call it The Godfather Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. We can talk about this on another show, but I don't know. I mean, I know the movie wasn't the greatest thing on the planet. It actually wasn't even the best Mafia movie that year. But, I mean,
it says it's returning to the theaters, that it's happening.
I mean, I saw it in the movies. But, I mean, he died the same way his dad did, alone, except Vito died in the tomato patch with his grandson, and Michael died in the dirt with his dog in Sicily at whatever that guy is, the guy whose stomach.
I'm excited, though, because my dad hated Godfather Part 3.
Most people – did people hate it just because Sofia Coppola was in it, or do they really not like the story? Because I know a lot of people didn't like the story because it made the Catholic Church corrupt, which – I guess in some cases it is, but all religions, I guess, are corrupt in their own special way. But anyway, controversy creates clicks. Doesn't create cash. Maybe it creates clicks. Anyway, I hope have a great. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's late. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. For those watching All Out, please enjoy it. Let me know how it is. I will not be around tomorrow night, so I will not be able to watch tonight, I guess. So I won't be able to watch it. But I hope it's a good show. I really do. And I hope Thunder Rosa kicks Sheeta's ass, even though she won't, or landed a draw. But I do hope MJF beats Moxley, because he's a piece of crap. I'm Scott. He's the doctor.
You're way too angry. Ciao, baby.